Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message. Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for our adults. Love to have you come and join us for that as we look forward to studying God's Word together. They got a great class going. Glad to have you come out and join us for it. Then following our Sunday school time, we have our worship service that begins at 10 o'clock. And since it's only about 8:30 to give or take, you've got plenty of time to come and join us this morning as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Also this evening, we'll be coming back for our evening worship service. Starts at 6 o'clock, kind of more of a modified version. We had a good testimony time last Sunday evening, and it went very well. Very thankful for the folks there that come out. It was just good stuff. And then on Tuesday evening, we will be at Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we are studying the book of Isaiah. So we're wrapped up the third chapter last week. We're getting ready to jump into the fourth. So come on out and join us. That's a very casual time, good time to ask some questions, really dig in. We go verse by verse. So come and join us, 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. Wednesday, we're down at the nursing home here in Crisfield. We have a time of prayer and devotion and singing, a lot of singing with the residents, some carrying on. It's always a good time. The public is invited. It's either on the second or third floor. You can join us 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. Since it is the first Sunday of Advent, Christmas is rolling right on in here. We've got some things scheduled. Our Christmas party's coming up. Our passing out of Christmas cards between the church family. And also, we have the Christmas Eve service will be coming up. And I'll be announcing the times and all that for those particular events that we've got going on. But we'd certainly love to have you join us for it, of anything of which we have that we're participating in here at Christ Fellowship. So, with all that being said, I have a song that I've picked out this morning. And I pray that God would use it to be an encouragement to your soul and bless you in a way, maybe just to lift you up this morning, and that God will just take it in such a fashion that you'll be strengthened in it.
Jesus, bend silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain. Be held in sin's dread. Jesus in worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King.
And that was Miss Sandy Whips singing for us, "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold." And I pray this morning that that would be your hope in your life, that with all that this world tries to offer us, with the hope it tries to give, that we would only find our hope in Jesus Christ. Right now I've got a message that I preached last Sunday night out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and with the week before we had talked about the example of the church, and now we shift into that of the leadership example, how Paul himself had demonstrated leadership qualities among those people that he ministered to. I'd like for you to turn with me this evening to 1 Thessalonians is where we're going to be. We're going to start in that second chapter tonight. We'll try to cover what ground we can. I'm thankful because our evening service, just trying to, is through the, since we've been having our evening service, just trying to let it go as it may. I certainly want to cover so much ground as I can, but I appreciate your honesty and just in your testimony, your prayer request tonight. It's good. It's good for my soul. I hope it's good for your soul. I think it's good for the souls of those around you when we're able to have a time of witnessing together and testifying to the goodness of God. And even sometimes when we recall things that the Lord has brought us through, it can bring us to tears. But even in bringing us to tears, we know that the Lord has been very faithful to us. So if I don't get covered what I want to cover tonight, that's okay. I won't push us through it, but we'll certainly pick it up in weeks to come. Tonight we are in 1 Thessalonians, that second chapter, and Paul has been reviewing about the example that the Thessalonians have had to the world, how that when Paul arrived, the church was started, people were saved, and how their faith has gone out to the world, and how that faith is very evident to the world by their conduct, by their testimony, how they have been walking that walk of faith before everyone, and it's gone forward. So with that, as the apostle here in the second chapter, he comes and says this in verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests the hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." And that's where we'll close this evening. Father, thank you once again for the word, its power. Lord, how it's able to cut within our very being and divide, God, those things, truth and error. Lord, how we are able to embrace it, and Lord, that you will use it in a mighty way to shape and fashion us into the image of your Son, Jesus. We can't thank you enough, Lord, for the blessing it is, as Brother John had mentioned just a little bit ago, that we have your word, not in a language of ancient times, but the word in our own English language that we can clearly understand, and that, Lord, we can clearly articulate to others the hope that Jesus offers to the world. So we would pray now that, Lord, you would speak clearly, plainly, and that, God, as we had said earlier, that we can go tonight different from this place than how we come in, to your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we pause, and as Paul speaks about that of the good example of the Thessalonians, how well they have conducted themselves among their own and among the world. He shifts at this point, as he spoke about that, of how the Thessalonians, there in verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God and the true God, there in chapter 1, verse 9, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So referring back to as Paul was just exhorting them, encouraging them about their faith, how they were well-spoken and how they continue to wait for Jesus Christ. But Paul himself, he shifts, and he speaks now not so much about the conduct of the Thessalonians, but now he shifts and he begins to speak about his own walk before them and how he continues to walk before them. When we look at the Apostle Paul, we have a wonderful example of spiritual leadership. We have a fine example of an individual who, through the pressing of the time, through turmoil, through conflict, through all that Paul would face, that Paul is a good example for us of an individual who is a fine spiritual leader. And I'm not saying this evening that Paul was perfect, because he himself would admit that he had not yet attained. Paul himself would admit that there were things of which he would want to do, but he didn't do, and the things that he didn't want to do, those are the things that he was doing. But when we look across the scope of Paul's ministry and how he was a spiritual leader, and as we look, we are in need today, as we would look at the Apostle Paul, him being a leader to that church, the apostle, we're also in need of fine leaders. We're in need of leaders who have integrity, who are truthful, who are honest. We're in need of those people. We look around and we see, when we look for these leaders, we find out, like now it's football season, and when something goes awry with the team itself, we know that the first one to go is going to be the coach. The leader, he's out. If the team hasn't fared well, and he may have a crummy team, he may not have the best of players to start with, but who's going to be the first to go? To coach. When the markets start to fail and you've got these big corporations and they have their CEOs and things are not going well, and maybe it wouldn't be any of their fault at all, but however, because of things, the line is not in the black, but it's in the red, and they want to chastise the CEO, and we see that there are many of them that get laid off, or however they would call their firing. I'm not sure how that would be. And also within the church, there needs to be that of leadership. There needs to be fine spiritual leadership. And there are times when, and all of us, if not all of us, we have been a part of, that there have been times when leadership has failed, that it's not been what we anticipated. It's not been that of what we would find, that of what the Scripture says, but we have, within the context of the Word of God, that of a look into what spiritual leadership should look like. Paul here, as we read, it's not so much that he wanted to defend his apostleship. That's not what he would really desire to do. But due to the fact that false teachers were coming in and they were assaulting the Apostle Paul. They assaulted that of the things he would teach. They were assaulting his integrity. They were assaulting that of his whole ministry. And Paul, he would come to a defense of himself. He would speak to the Corinthians about how in that verse 1, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. That his coming to them was not in vain at all. That word there means empty. And he calls them to remember. He calls that church to remember him in that way, that we did not come empty. We did not come to you in vain. You can look back on your own experience and you can see how the Lord, and that's again what Paul would point them to, not so much about Paul himself, but how the Lord would use Paul in a mighty way, and in doing so, that church would be birthed, the people would grow, and they themselves would have a wonderful testimony out into the world. And that's what we see again, as Paul notes, as he would call, that we are coming to you is not in vain. You know that. And as Paul speaks those things, he's very clear, because again, the assault of false teachers coming in and trying to manipulate or damage that of the ministry of which he had among the Thessalonians. And in doing so with the Apostle Paul, that he wanted to make sure that the church was going to be steadfast. Regardless of what may have happened to Paul, Paul wanted to make sure that they themselves were established in that truth, that they were not going to be persuaded by false teachers coming in. Again, no matter what would happen to him, but he wanted to make sure that they, those things of which he had taught, how he presented himself before them, that they would remain faithful, not unto Paul, but unto God. That what Paul had spoken to them was truth. What they had believed in was the truth. And that truth had transformed their very lives. So he says, remember, basically, you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after, he says in verse 2, we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. We note that Paul had already suffered much conflict. He had already suffered under that of persecution of that of his kinsmen, his Jewish brethren, but also the Gentile world. We read that in Acts chapter 16. If you read chapter 16, verses 16 through 24, you will find out that of which Paul is directly speaking about what was going on in Philippi, how they were spitefully, or here as it notes, they suffered before those Philippians, and they were spitefully treated there. Paul had suffered. He had suffered that when it speaks about this suffering, the word there, that first word that comes up, this suffering, that means physical abuse. Paul had been physically abused because he would be a stalwart in that of his proclamation of the gospel. He would not shrink back. He would remain faithful to his calling of God, and that he would proclaim the truth. He would lay hold of that of the cross, and he would keep the cross before that of his audience. And that is why, as Paul would note, as we had read before back in Galatians, that is why he suffered. Because the cross would cause offense. It would cause offense among that of his Jewish brethren, and it would also cause offense among the Gentile world. But in his keeping the cross before them, he was suffered. He suffered physically. Also noted here in that second verse where it says, and not only did he suffer physically, but he was also spitefully treated. He was also spitefully treated there in Philippi. And what this means is that he was shamefully treated, insultingly treated. They look to, with this word, it means to humiliate. So whether it was in the beatings that Paul received, whether it was the gossip of which they spoke about Paul, whether it was about how they confronted him in the synagogues or out in the streets itself, they would look to humiliate Paul. They would look to tear him down, to eat away at the fabric of his being, to come to a place where he would not have any integrity at all, that they would try to undermine the ministry of which he had. So his physical abuse that he would take for the gospel, along with that of being shamefully treated, insultingly treated, they looked to humiliate Paul. And Paul would say that with that did not stop him. That even though that there were these times when Paul was confronted, when he was confronted with those who would come against him in much conflict, he says there at the end of that verse, that they would come against him, that he would still proclaim the gospel of God. So we have an example here of a leader. And he was reminding the Philippians that even though with all that went on in my life, even though they basically run me out of Philippi, that I would come to you as the Thessalonians, and that same word would be, is what I preached there, I would not change it for the life of me. I would continue to share that of which God had placed upon my heart. And even though the conflict was real, as he speaks, that we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. In our modern vernacular, you'll see it on T-shirts or on bumper stickers. It says the struggle is real. And that's what we see with Paul. The struggle, the conflict was real. It was not something to be taken lightly. The opposition, the fighting of which he had to fight against those false teachers, to fight against those, again, of Judaism, that of the pagans of his time, that even though there would be those that would claim a banner of Christianity, he was still fighting against them because they wanted to come in, undermine his ministry, that they would have the preeminence. But Paul said the struggle basically is real. In much conflict, I stood fast. I stood fast. So as we look here at Paul, there are several things that we can note that when Paul, he would champion that of how spiritual leadership should look like, that even in conflict, even in times that were difficult, that Paul himself, he would stand firm to the cause of the gospel. There are several things that Paul mentions throughout his letters when dealing with leadership within the church body. One we find over in 2 Timothy, if you flip there, we're going to be there for, just hold your finger there for a little bit, 2 Timothy, there in that fourth chapter, Paul, as he's speaking again, Timothy being the young pastor, and Paul being that of the elder, looking to give him some insight, some wisdom, some guidance, some advice, some help in raising the church to be strong. Paul says there in that second verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." That Paul would call the eldership, those of which we see, can see in Paul's life, that they would champion biblical truth. Because there is no other truth. When we stand behind pulpits like this, when you sat in Sunday school classes, when you're in nurseries, regardless of it's our women's groups, or that of our men's groups, whatever we may be doing in the process of discipling, we must champion biblical truth. We must continue to found ourselves upon biblical truth, not allowing that to escape us. Preach the word. Let the word have the final say in all of our lives. Regardless of whether the people themselves, they adhere to it or not, whether it's something of which would be popular or not, Paul, we see as we go back and we look there in Thessalonians, as he's writing to them, there were a lot of people that did not like Paul. They did not like he was preaching or teaching, but he said that did not warrant me to change. I was not moved because of that. He stayed fast. He stayed fast. So for us, when we speak along the line of elders themselves, that of spiritual leadership, there needs to be those that will stand and champion that of biblical truth, that will stand firm upon the word. I'm thankful today that as I look back upon my life, I had those that would had surrounded me, as I've testified before, that adamantly called me to stand on the word, to stay fervent to the word of God. Let the word of God speak. You be faithful to that, God himself will be faithful to you. You be faithful to the word. Secondly, keep your hand there in Timothy, and then just bump back a little bit further. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. As we move back here a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5. Looking at verses, let me mark my spot here too. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, looking at verse 1. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that we will be revealed." Verse 2, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God." And that's where we come with this when we talk about pastors. Pastoring sheep, the pastor himself, that role. I was reminded this morning when little Ethan run forward up here to get to his daddy, and as I come around the corner or he was coming back up here, it was like herding little sheep, just trying to guide him back to wherever he had to be back in here. And that's that idea that's presented. that we are gathering the sheep and we are herding them into a direction. We don't want them steered off here, steered off there. We're trying to guide them into a direction of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter notes here, he says, shepherd the flock of God which among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not being thrust into it. We have discussed here before at different times of churches that we've been in, possibly been in the past, where the leadership was thrust upon us. It was not something that was prayerfully considered, but you were a warm living body and you were one that was on the membership roll, so you get the job, no matter what the spiritual qualifications may have been. But here the Bible says that we don't do it by compulsion, but we do it willingly. It's something of which God himself would put into the heart of specifically that man here. We speak about eldership, not by compulsion, but willingly. That we step out trusting that this is what the Lord would have me to do, has called me to do, to be a part of. And in that, he says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not for dishonest gain. Not looking today as we can note around that you turn on the TV and the first thing that they want is that of money. Send us your money and we'll send you a cloth or we'll send you a bottle of oil or we'll send you this or we'll send you that. Just send us your money and we'll give you something in return. It's not about dishonest gain. When you stand behind the pulpit, when you are a spiritual leader, it's not about filthy lucre. It's not about that at all. It's about that of presenting the gospel as best as that individual can to see people come to the saving knowledge of Christ and discipled in the relationship with the Lord. He says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, not being lords. And that's what we see with the Apostle Paul. We see him as a prime example of that, of a leader who could, as we would read later on, he said, I could have taken my apostolic authority. He said, I could have thrust that upon you and said, I am an apostle and you need to do X, Y, and Z. But Paul would not go in that way. And as Peter instructs here, that we're not to be lords over those, not your boss. As pastor today, I'm not your boss. I'm your pastor. That's what I am. And the other eldership and the deacons of which we have here, they're not the bosses either. We've been called by God. God has put us here and we're to be, as it notes here, not as lords over those entrusted you, but being examples. And that's what we see with Paul. We see him as an example. We see him as an example to the Thessalonians. We see him as an example to Timothy Timothy when he's instructing him on how he should guide his life and how he, as his life is guided by the Lord, that how he should guide the church. So here we note that when we come back to this, that not only do we champion biblical truth, true spiritual leaders, but also that is noted here that there are spiritual resources that are provided. Serving as overseers, shepherding the flock, not by compulsion, dishonest, not for dishonest gain, none of those things. But what we are actually doing is providing spiritual resources that the flock itself may grow. Thirdly, we know that far as elders go, that we understand that the eldership, it guards and protects. There in the book of Acts, and again, keep your finger there in Timothy, please, the book of Acts. We jump back a little bit, Acts chapter 20, it provides us with this understanding of how the elders themselves are to guard and protect. Acts chapter 20 is Paul, and they're giving this to the Ephesian elders there. They're being encouraged in their walk with the Lord and the church of which they oversee, that they're pastoring, that they're watching out after. Paul says there in the 20th chapter of Acts, looking at verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves.
And dear friends, we've got to close it up there. If you'd like to contact us, please feel free to call 410-623-2401. Or look us up on our website or Facebook. But once again, thank you for tuning in on WBEY 97.9 and listening to our program here every Sunday morning at 8:30. God bless you all, and have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.